Walking Dead Season 8 is over, but we're just getting started recapping the Walking Dead finale here on Post Show Recaps. And now, here are the two people who are ready to bring you a modicum of fooey and hopefully not go full kablooey. I'm Rob Cicinino. Here is Jessica Lee. Jessica, how are you?
I'm pretty good, Rob. You know, I want to apologize for being a little late getting started tonight. I was outside in our backyard hanging up some stained glass on the trees because apparently this is a thing people do.
Yeah, we never really got an explanation for that, right? Did I miss anything?
No, I was wondering if I, the same thing, because I put something out on Twitter. Does anybody know what this is? Because I knew that if we had missed something, we were definitely going to hear about it, but everybody is as clueless as we are. The best guess we've got is that it was one of Jadis's projects, but it really doesn't feel like her vibe.
Yeah, wind chimes. Now, Jess, not to get into comic book spoilers, but in the comic book panel, isn't there something like that? Like design wise, doesn't it look the same?
I think it is like spiritually similar, but I can't. I was going to go back and reread the comics before.
Maybe they explain it in the comics.
Sat down, but I don't think it goes down exactly the same. Although the actual confrontation, I think, is just about beat for beat what we saw on the screen tonight.
Okay. All right. So this is the first half of Survival Sunday. Just to give you guys the real time of how we're doing this tonight, Jessica and I have just watched The Walking Dead Season 8 finale. We are going to be talking about that. We have not yet watched the Fear the Walking Dead Season 4 premiere. We will do that and report back to you tomorrow. So currently, we do not really know how Morgan got to Fear the Walking Dead. I kind of thought that we were going to get sort of a MASH ending with Morgan sort of like taking off in the helicopter, like, goodbye, everybody, bye. And then go off. I guess he's kind of like the wizard in The Wizard of Oz in the hot air balloon.
So like the reverse Travis Manawa.
Mm-hmm, yes, yes. Although he did go off in the helicopter and say goodbye to everybody. But that's a different story. Anyway, Jess, we will cover all of that in our Fear the Walking Dead recap coming sometime late Monday night, barring any further delays. But Jess, we got to talk about what's going on here in the end of the all-out war. Peace has broken out, Jess.
For a minute and a half, apparently.
Yeah. I'd say bad job by AMC. I know we're always very critical of AMC here, but like going into the show, they're telling me in a tease, the all-out war ends tonight. Like, okay, well, you didn't really need to tell me that up front.
Yeah, that seemed a little bit like...
that kind of like, felt like a spoiler.
Yeah, yeah, they're just like throwing that out there out front. And I mean, as I recall, we were talking last week, we didn't even know for sure that they were going to wrap it up.
Right.
I mean, we were pretty sure they were, but there's always that chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it felt like that it was coming to a head after they told us that it was going to end tonight. So, Jess, I'm eager to get your take on all of this because there has not been a lot posted yet about the reaction to this. So what did you think about the conclusion of Season 8?
Well, I think some of it felt kind of shoddily assembled.
Like the bullets?
But yes, as shoddily assembled as the bullets. But honestly, I thought the bullets thing, as telegraphed as it was, and as much as 3 seconds before it happened, I thought, I bet that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, they could have not cut back to Eugene about half a dozen less times.
Yeah, they were really showing their hand there in a way that I felt like, I think there's no way to tell that story in a good way that really hides it without us feeling like, well, yeah, of course he's still on our side. He's on our side all along. But it really, I didn't love the way that it was presented to us. We didn't need him giving that meaningful look at Father Gabriel, like, have a little faith, Father Gabriel. That was kind of the thing that put it over the top for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, the top stories at this hour, Jess, let's talk about them. Number one, The all-out war has ended. The saviors have apparently surrendered in good faith. It seems like that the saviors, like, very quickly, like, Negan's lieutenants also said, all right, you guys got us. We'll also, we're ready to cooperate. And I guess we can talk about that. But Negan has his throat slit. Basically, recipient of, I believe, what they called in the O.J. Simpson trial, a Colombian necktie, and lived?
Well, Rob, I was actually...
Sadiq, my man!
If you get a doctor on that and you don't, like, sever the artery, you can certainly bounce back from that. There's a video clip on YouTube, and I'm sure people will fill in the particulars... But I do not recommend you go watch this. There have been hockey goalies that have taken a skate to the throat in almost that exact same manner, and it's very gruesome and it looks pretty bad, but it turns out it's only a superficial wound, and if you catch it before they bleed out, you pretty much 100% after that.
Okay. So you feel like this was plausible?
This is plausible. And this, again, we're going to save some stuff for the comic book zone, but this is pretty much exactly what happens in the comic book zone. So...
Okay.
There you have it.
Okay. I just feel like that if this happened to me at my house, I feel like this would be, you know, very risky whether or not I could get to the hospital, get the transfusion. I mean, does Sadiq have a Negan's blood type on file? I was very surprised. And it did not seem like that there was like an urgency to get him back to the hilltop.
Oh, Negan's probably a universal recipient.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
We are all Negan.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're all AB positive.
Yes. Okay. So you think that we are Negan refers to his blood type, Jess?
Sure. Why not? We are all Negan. We all, because he can take a transfusion from any of us.
Okay. So smarter people than us can tell us what that blood type is. Do you know?
I don't off the top of my head.
Okay. All right.
I kind of think I know, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, we'll get too many emails if we guess wrong. Okay, so that Negan is alive and all part of a plan from Rick and Michonne, apparently, to keep him alive so that he can see all of the progress that gets made in Carltopia. I have to say, I feel like that the most dramatic moment of the night had to have been Maggie reacting to the fact that we are not going to kill Negan. I think most of us were Maggie in that moment. Like, what are you doing? No, no, no. What are you thinking, Rick? But she is very upset. And then this is shades of like the WWE. We had like the full Maggie heel turn, Jess.
Yeah, I don't know about this particular turn of events. I mean, I think we can speculate all we want about what next season is going to be, but boy, it sure doesn't seem like Lauren Cohen is going anywhere. So there's that.
Right. She's like basically in that moment is set up to be the big bad of season 9 in that she's like silently planning this coup with Jesus of all people. And then with Daryl too.
Yeah, doesn't this go against everything Jesus has ever said in any episode of the show up to this point?
Even in this episode?
Yeah, I'm saying. Like, he talks Morgan down from the ledge only to tell Maggie to go and kill whoever she wants?
Unless
that makes no sense.
Jesus is like the mole who is then going to go back and tell Rick about this plan. Because in this very episode... That we see Jesus telling Morgan, like, here, use the blunt end. Don't use the pointy end to people. See, you don't have to kill people. See? And then Rick followed Jesus's teachings to the T. And then Jesus is a co-conspirator with Maggie and that he has to learn a lesson.
Yeah, well, first of all, Jesus is like the reverse Cereal Forel mm-hmm. because he's telling him not to stick people with the pointy end.
Yes, stick him with the blunt end.
Yeah, and second of all, that would be incredibly stupid if he's just sitting there purposely being a mole because we just had that storyline mm-hmm. and we don't need the same storyline repeated beat for beat yet again.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what's going to happen there, but I could not believe that storyline coming up here with Maggie potentially turning against Rick and Michonne.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily buy Daryl doing it either because I feel like we had to kind of twist some logic to get Daryl to that point, because he spent most of the season trusting Dwight and saying, it's okay, Dwight's going to help us. Dwight saved my life. And then two episodes ago decides, nope, Dwight's a jerk. We're going to kill him. And then sparing Dwight and then saying, okay, now we're going to kill Rick. None of that makes any sense whatsoever.
Now, on a night where Maggie potentially made the heel turn, we saw Eugene make the full face turn back to the good guys. Jess, did the events of last week's episode lead you to believe that Eugene had flipped sides?
They did, and I'll tell you why. The moment where he busts Gabriel trying to screw up the bullets, I thought, well, if he really wanted to make a difference, why doesn't he just do that thing that Gabriel was going to do, but do it to all the bullets? Mm-hmm. And I think they wouldn't have shown that scene. They wouldn't have had Gabriel trying and failing to do that if it wasn't going to go somewhere. So that was kind of my thought. But one thing I did appreciate about this arc is that Eugene was not pulling a long con on anybody. The whole time he's been with Negan, I think he really was with Negan, until he kind of hit this wall about the time that he helps Gabriel escape the first time. He kind of hits this point where he realizes that Negan's way of life is not good for anybody but Negan. And he started to come around. And then I think confronting Rosita and confronting Gabriel in that last episode where you and I said this episode didn't result in anything, that was the thing it resulted in.
Yeah.
So that was where we ended up, that was different from the beginning of last week's episode.
But when Daryl and Rosita kidnapped Eugene last week and he's already thinking about flipping, is he not yet thinking about flipping? Does he realize after they kidnap him that those are his friends? Because he runs away from them. He runs away from them and runs back to the Saviors and isn't like, hey guys, I need to tell you about the plan I got. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to make bullets and I'm going to go bully for the kablooey and then watch this. Check out what I'm doing. Trust me on this. Like, he's not trying to tell them any of that.
Well, no, he can't tell them any of that at that
Why
point
not?
Because there's always a chance it's going to get back to Negan before anything can come of it. I think the plan may not have been fully formed at that point. I think Eugene is somebody that's surprisingly susceptible to the opinions of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he just kind of wants to go along to get along. And when he is confronted by people that do not approve of him and that are squicked out by him and think he's a terrible person, I think that really does get to him on this weird, deep level because of the kind of person he is.
Yeah.
And I think being around people like he and Rosita have been together since practically the beginning of the zombie apocalypse. And to realize that she hates him now, I think that cuts him pretty deep.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jess, are we to presume or to assume that all of the Saviors and now they will be sort of like working hand in hand with people from Hilltop and Rick's group?
Well, I think that's kind of the point of what we saw here. Like, nobody is able to get through this rebuilding process alone.
Right.
And I think everybody is going to have to work together and everybody has something that somebody else needs. And I think one of the overarching lessons that we learned this season half was that everybody is in these circumstances just because that's what they were doing to survive. And the Saviors could have just as easily, most of them wouldn't necessarily have chosen to be with Negan, but that was where they wound up. And they're all decent, hardworking people that just went down the wrong path and couldn't really voluntarily jump ship and go to the Hilltop or whatever. So at this point now, I think they do want a different life. They don't want to necessarily have some guy going around killing random people to take other people's stuff. They want to work hard. They want to contribute. They want to barter. And I think that's what this has all been leading up to. I think Carl realized that very early on, and now it's just everybody else coming around to that.
Will it be awkward for Eugene whenever he runs into anybody maimed or disfigured by the bullets going kablooey incident?
Probably. And we don't know where Eugene is going to end up living.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to be welcome back with Rick's people, even though it's clear he just saved everybody. But after that stunt he pulled the saviors, he's not really going to be welcome there either. He's going to have to find another place to live.
Yeah. And then more top stories at this hour. We ended up seeing Dwight somehow was still persona non grata, even after Negan announced on the bullhorn to everybody.
Just so everybody knows, also, Dwight, he was trying to help you, but I caught him.
Just to clear the air, Daryl's still taking him out for what appears to be an execution.
Yeah, and why did Negan go to the trouble of making sure everybody knew that? It felt like it might have been easier if everybody still thought that Dwight was secretly Team Negan.
I just want to clear his name so you know that I caught him trying to help you. It didn't work. I've also got Gabriel here. I've also got your friend.
Like, Negan just like gave way too much information to as a preamble for the battle.
Yeah, Negan watched a lot of James Bond movies as a kid.
Mm-hmm. Really? You know what's crazy also? Like when it looks like Rick and his group has the upper hand, but they still like let him go mano a mano with Negan and like waited for him to stab Negan in the throat. And then we like pull back and like all of Rick's people are just like standing around like nobody got a shot off on Negan.
Yeah, nobody, like, everybody stood around watching it. That was the ridiculous part. Because when it was just tight on the two of them fighting, I was thinking, like, where is everybody else? Are they all just fighting with each other and they don't notice this is going on and, like, this is the big boss battle?
Mm-hmm.
But then it just turns out nobody's doing anything. They're just all standing there and, I guess, listening in on the exchange of ideas here.
Yeah, unless we ended up having where Rick told everybody the plan except for Maggie about how he wanted to take Negan alive. And if you see me, don't do anything. Where Maggie and I guess Daryl and Jesus are the only people that are reacting negatively to that. They assumed the plan was going to be to kill Negan on sight.
Yeah, and they apparently showed up late to this.
I don't know where they had something else going on. Where was Enid today? Did they not bring her on the battle?
She was babysitting. We see her carrying Gracie and they're all like, shut the baby up.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't end up like the MASH ending. So that was good.
Yes. I loved it in the beginning of this episode where we're seeing like Rick looking in the mirror and then they are, you know, he's looking at the baby and everything. What percentage of the Walking Dead viewers do you think realize that this is not Judith and it is actually a different baby that they picked up earlier in season 8?
I think everybody forgets about this baby until they like meaningfully show the baby every 3 episodes, just so you remember, oh yeah, guys, there's also a baby. And P.S. Rick, that baby is too small to have a blanket in her crib. What the hell?
Yeah, but where is Judith? It's almost like that we have a big Judith, but then we also added a baby that was the same size as Judith was. It's like there always needs to be like a 12-month-old girl baby around.
Well, did Judith stop being cute? Are they bringing in like a Raven Simone to her Keisha Knight Pulliam?
I would bet half the people watching the show were watching that and did not realize that that's not Rick's other kid.
I hope something really important to the plot happens with these two little girls in the next season, because if it doesn't, then why is Gracie even a thing?
Yeah. And I like that Sadiq came in with a bottle. Like Sadiq is the person that's responsible for feeding the baby.
Yeah. Doesn't Sadiq have better things to do? Isn't he the doctor?
He's like, oh, I had to come and bring a bottle for the baby. It's a baby's feeding time.
Yeah, I guess maybe he's monitoring the baby. Maybe nobody else is sick right now after everybody got the zombie virus.
Yes, but Sadiq had the important job to remind Rick that somebody is not gone if their ideas live on, Jess.
Yeah, although coming into this episode, Carl was basically the worst persuasive voice in history.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, the takeaway from his letters of, we can all work together, we can make it work, we can have a bright future.
Yeah.
Everybody reads these letters and then goes, all right, I want to kill everybody.
Yeah.
Now, it's like the White Album.
Did you like the flashback stuff with Rick and young Carl?
Well, it's very hard to watch those kinds of things when you have, and I know you feel this too, Rob, because you have small boys yourself. When you have a small boy that's very into holding your hand while he walks, those scenes are kind of hard to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it got you.
It got me a little bit, and it was transparently manipulative, but it got me anyway, so good job, show.
Yeah. Did you buy Andrew Lincoln? I'm presuming that we ended up that was like current Andrew Lincoln and wasn't like, you know, found footage from the first season or anything like that. So, I mean, it worked for me. I wasn't like, oh my God, don't even try to pretend that this is a young Andrew Lincoln here.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's got a little bit of time to grow his giant beard before next season. So, yeah, we'll just shave him clean and shoot a couple of episodes and give him black hair and everybody will think it's fine.
Yeah.
He did still look a little bit haggard compared to the fresh-faced Rick Grimes of season one. But, yeah, I bought it.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the benefits of having him having this, you know, giant, scraggly, gray beard for so long that when he shaves it, he looks like 20 years younger.
It's true. And let me tell you, whenever Love Actually is on anymore, that is the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah. All right. More headlines from tonight. So Morgan, who had his goodbye kind of on the episode. I mean, that really we did not see Morgan give a proper goodbye to anybody, but that we're assuming, barring a flashback in season 9, that he didn't really tell anybody that he was leaving, right?
He kind of told Carol he was leaving.
Yeah.
Because he gave his armor to her and he said, "That's for Henry." And Carol said, "Are you going to be okay?" He's like, "I'm going to try to be okay. I have to be okay. I have to." And then he walks away.
Okay. All right. So Morgan has to go pass along the word to Jadis Anne about, hey, you can come and live with Rick's group. What did you think about the reveal that Jadis wants to be called Anne now?
I guess she's shedding the garbage people identity and reintegrating into society. So I imagine she'd want to use her birth name or she'd want to adopt a new identity. But Jadis is a far cooler name than Anne. And I know we have not been high on Jadis or the garbage people, but I don't want her to lose all of her quirky essence, just like 95% of it.
Yes. Yes. So once she becomes basic Anne, what is she?
I would imagine that she just goes and, like, she works in the garden and she sometimes babysits Judith.
She can do, like, find compost.
They find her a decorative scarf and a pair of Ugg boots, and she grows the pumpkins for the pumpkin spice lattes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Anne.
Yeah, that's Anne.
Yeah, that's Anne probably will be a key cog for Rick and Michonne in the Walking Dead Civil War.
Yeah, she sometimes paints a watercolor of a fruit bowl if she doesn't have anything better to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she can help with a lot of things at the new Hilltop. Yeah, so Oceanside was back tonight also, Jess. I think as you said many times, they were exactly what you expected, that they were the cavalry who came and bailed out whoever was at the Hilltop in one scene with a couple of Molotov cocktails.
Yeah, they're basically the will they or won't they show up. Episode 9 of every season of Game of Thrones. Here they come to bail everybody out. Or even, this is not even the first time this has happened on The Walking Dead, because the kingdom rolled up in exactly the same way to save Alexandria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were you buying that them with their couple of Molotov cocktails were enough to fend off the saviors that were coming for the Hilltop?
I am buying it because Oceanside people tend to be pretty tough and pretty resourceful. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't understand why everybody thought, well, just take away their guns and they won't be a threat anymore. No, they take away their guns, they're going to make bombs. Of course they are.
They made Molotov cocktails ready to go and exploding all over the place. So we got them back together. So we saw Dwight then go and seek out Cheryl. And he went to, I guess, a secret meeting. What's her name? Sherry?
I heard she likes to be called Cheryl.
Sherry? So sorry, yes. Dwight. So sorry, Dwight. I apologize.
It's not the first time.
Yes. She looks like a Cheryl. I feel like she looks like more like a Cheryl than a Sherry.
Okay, you can call her Cheryl. I know who you're talking about.
Yes. So, well, I guess let's go back to Dwight was going to execute or be executed by Daryl. Daryl's still mad about the whole Denise thing.
Yeah, but Daryl wasn't mad about the Denise thing for a really long time. He seemed totally okay by it. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, you killed my friend and my friend's girlfriend. And
right.
I think you should die for that. That's really, I mean, the kill switch is like he's doing a kill switch rave.
Yeah, it really is crazy because that the whole thing with Tara was that he was arguing Dwight was a good guy. And then once Dwight got captured by the Saviors, that Daryl was saying, like, no, he was in on it. He knew what was going on. And then Negan, like, completely, like, said he was innocent. He had nothing to do with it. He was trying to help you guys, but I tricked him and wasn't good enough for Daryl.
Yeah, I would imagine, like, any logical deconstruction of this conversation would result in Daryl being like, oh, I guess he was on our side all along. That's the part I don't get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Daryl says, go find her because, you know, she was the one that ultimately let Daryl out of the jail. And so he goes to a safe house and finds a note that says, honeymoon infinity. What did you take that to mean, Jess?
I assume it means they're going to ride off into the sunset together. Yeah. Like, he's going to get a chopper, and they're going to be like, Zed's dead, baby, and they're taking off.
But where is she?
I think she stepped out to get more beer because the two beers that were there are empty.
She might have a drinking problem, no?
Well, two beers, Rob?
Yeah, where are you going to get more beer? What is it, like a 7-Eleven that you just go in and go out to?
I'm sure the Saviors have a safe house full of beer.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't get that.
Doesn't somebody at the sanctuary brew their own beer?
Yeah.
They probably have that stowed somewhere. Could have been her.
Honeymoon, I don't know. Honeymoon infinity.
Maybe that's why Negan was so keen to marry her.
Yes. Why? It's a never ending honeymoon with her.
Sure. Well, she brews beer. Of course it is.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing, like, she doesn't live at that safe house. That's just where they agree to meet. So she basically just left a note saying, I'm here whenever you get here. And then he's going to wait there for her and she'll come back. You know, like Jadis did with the flare once a day. She had her watch set.
Where is she? Why did we get that as the scene? Why didn't we get to see do they want to give us a cliffhanger? Do they want it to be left open to interpretation?
They don't want to pay the actress.
Yes. Okay. Now,
they had to pay Lauren Cohen a bunch of extra money because she wasn't happy with her contract. So then we don't get Cheryl back.
Just do you think that the message could have been that wherever they went on their honeymoon, that's where she is? So she's like in the Poconos.
Okay. Yeah. They're at Niagara Falls or whatever. I hope they didn't go somewhere. I hope they didn't go to the Caribbean because that's going to be hard to get to.
Yeah, that would be tricky to reach. So, okay, we'll go with that and see where she goes. Is this the last we see Dwight?
I don't think it's the very last we see Dwight. I think he kind of does a Morales turn.
Oh, you think he pops back up like in six seasons?
Yeah, yeah. Like he and Heath will be living somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he shows up and, like, he's the cavalry the next time they go to war.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Just talk to me about Father Gabriel and his night tonight.
Father Gabriel had a good night. I thought he was done. I thought he was dead.
Yeah, I really did think that he was going to get it from Negan, yet somehow Negan kept him around the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, especially after he got clubbed in the chest with Lucille.
Yeah.
Isn't Lucille, like, I know Rick set her on fire, so maybe it kind of, like, killed all the Walker gut what have you. So maybe he's okay. But I thought, oh, he got hit in the chest with Lucille. And even if that was just a gentle tap, he probably has Walker guts in him now. And he didn't.
Mm-hmm. No, he was fine. Jess, this is a super nitpicky thing about Father Gabriel, but I feel like that if this isn't the right place to ask this, then when is? But Father Gabriel is always completely smoothly shaven. There's never one follicle of hair growing in on his head, on his cheek, anywhere. The guy is as smooth as a cue ball at all times. He has been a captive of the, is somebody shaving Father Gabriel at every moment? I mean, the man is blind still, right?
I feel like he got some of his sight back. Like, he didn't have the Bob Costas eyes anymore.
No.
So I think he probably has at least enough vision to, like, I don't know what, to look up into the heavens and thank God for being alive.
And they're giving him a razor also?
I wouldn't give a blind guy a razor.
Yes. So especially one of your prisoners.
Yeah. Some of his sight is back. Or maybe they're just never going to explain that. But I think, like, as far as his face is concerned, like, maybe he just has, you remember how Boston Rob only ever grew that goatee whenever he was out on the Survivor Island?
I'm talking about his head.
Maybe he had electrolysis before the zombie apocalypse.
Maybe. I guess that's possible. Alden got a lot of screen time tonight. Really, the first person that we see in the episode, we get close up of Walker's. Actually, we saw the flashback of Rick and Carl. And then in the present, first person, extreme close up, Alden.
Camera loves that guy. What can I say?
Yeah. And he got a lot that he probably would got more lines than a lot of the major leads.
I think he got more lines than Michonne.
Yeah. So he basically he is going to want, he's read the book from Georgie, and now he wants to devote his life to building stuff here at the Hilltop.
I think it's great. And I'm looking at him and Maggie, and the sparks are kind of flying, and they don't really, like, they kind of love to hate is turning into love. Maybe do we see something blossoming for the two of them? Is Malden going to be a thing?
Oh, you think that that's going to be a new love interest for Maggie?
Yeah, I think that ship is seaworthy.
Mm-hmm. Aaron did not make a full recovery from last week.
Yeah, well, I think it takes a lot to recover from stupidity of that magnitude.
Yes, that there's not enough Gatorade left in the universe to be able to rehydrate Aaron enough.
Yeah, and he expended further energy, apparently saying the magic words that got Oceanside back over onto his side. Unless Oceanside was just fed up and they came to kill everybody from the Hilltop in Alexandria, and they missed.
Is that what you think that was going on?
I don't think that's what was going on, but I kind of wish it was.
Yeah, no, they are ready to also join forces and be a big part of what's to come in this future world. Just what else from tonight really caught your attention?
Well, I think we've talked a lot about the confrontation. We've talked about the exploding bullets. We talked about the slit throat. We even talked about the Molotov cocktails.
I liked when Morgan almost killed Henry.
Yeah, I think we do need to talk about that a little bit. And we need to talk about the blunt end and the pointy end, and like Morgan going out in the world apparently to spread the word of Jesus.
Yes, not the son of God, but the guy who is one of Maggie's cohorts in taking on Rick and Michonne.
Right, right. He's going to go around saying, like, you know, this is the killing end and this is the not killing end. And it's really like it is a switch in a way, so it's like a kill switch.
Yes. So, and do as I say, not as I do, says Jesus.
Yes. So if we've spoken about most of the high points in the episode, I'd really love to get your thoughts on where you think everybody goes from here on out. Like, are they, like, especially geographically, where is everybody going to live now? Are they all still living at the Hilltop because the kingdom and Alexandria are burnt out?
Well, I get the sense that they are going to try to rebuild Alexandria. I mean, Father Gabriel was at the church at the end of the episode. And so I think that speaks to people being there, right? That was not a church at the hilltop. And so I think that that Rick and Michonne are probably going to be, principals in charge of rebuilding what was at Alexandria.
Yeah, I think that is fair. I do want to say, I think this entire season, Michonne has been criminally underused. Mm-hmm. I think all she's really done is kind of been a barnacle hanging off of Rick and agreeing with everything he does. Mm-hmm. And like every so often it's like, oh yeah, I was friends with Carl too, so maybe I'll get the moment with the letter. But she really didn't get a whole lot of action. And for her character, who's one of the most interesting characters in the series, it really felt like she got put up on the shelf this entire season. So I hope for better for her next season, especially with Danai Gurira being such a breakout star now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Jess, I also want to just mention that I really loved something that the Saviors have been working on to get ready for testing to see whether Eugene's bullets are going to work. That Negan and the Saviors have constructed a scarecrow.
A scarecrow, yes, with a t-shirt that says Rick on it.
And then they put a t-shirt on him. And just to make sure people knew who they were practicing on, somebody came in with the black magic marker and wrote Rick on the t-shirt so that they could practice shooting guns. First time ever Negan has ever, hit his mark with a gun shooting at somebody.
Yeah, I thought what would have been better is if he'd fired the gun and it had missed. And then he just got mad and like run up on it with Lucille and beat the hay bale to death.
Mm-hmm. Or then somehow got the bat knocked out of his hand and then got into some like hand to hand combat with the scarecrow.
Yeah, something like that. Just foreshadowing.
Yeah.
All the way down.
Jess, so you mentioned about trying to see where people are going to go. So I guess we know where like the big three are, or the big principles in terms of what's going on at the hilltop and what's going on at Alexandria. Do you want to just talk through anybody else that we might be on the fence in terms of whose side are they on? Are they on Team Rishon or Team Mises?
Team Mises. I think it's worth kind of taking some of these characters, like, where's Carol gonna be?
Boy, I think that she is probably like, well, what's her kill switch on? It's basically gonna be like kill switch on versus kill switch off.
That's true. It's very much so. And I suppose by about halfway through the season, it'll be switched around and Maggie will be like, no, we got to save everybody.
Yeah.
And then Rick will be like, I have to kill everybody now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that in season 9, we're going to see Rick like trying to defend Negan from being killed by people.
Yeah, I guess this is an interesting thought, because this is kind of, we're going to go into some non-comic territory. Mm-hmm. So there's no roadmap for this. This kind of like facing off, and probably because the idea of it is massively dumb on its face. Mm-hmm. But, with Scott Gimple leaving the show and a new showrunner coming in, I think there's potential there to do something interesting.
Mm-hmm. Let's start to bring in some of these comments and questions that we have from people. Ray Carter on Twitter says, so season 9 is going to be Team Maggie versus Team Rick, Walking Dead Civil War. So are we basically, do you think that we are going to see like a poster for season 9 where it's basically like the MCU version of this?
Well, I mean, we are just about to have the most ambitious crossover event in history.
What, with Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead coming together?
Well, yeah. So I guess it's only fair that we take another page from the Avengers and have Avengers Civil War.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chris writes to us on Twitter and said, did we just see the new version of the scene name dropping Carl as the safe word? And this is a reference to the Batman versus Superman movie. not to spoil that movie. It did seem odd that Rick injected Carl as the sort of like the word to like distract Negan to stop him so he could stab him in the neck.
Yeah. And this was such a cynical use of Carl's name too, because yeah. I was just feeling like for Rick to do that in that moment was not, it was totally disingenuous, because Rick up to this point was disregarding everything Carl said to him. It was like, oh, did you suddenly in that moment, your life flashed before your eyes and now you're all about Carltopia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it really felt like he was just thinking, maybe, you know, this Carl stuff didn't affect me, but maybe it affected Negan. Let's find out. And I thought Jeffrey Dean Morgan was amazing in this scene, like the look on his face, like he had so much going on there.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you expect like the last person who's going to cry in front of his enemy is Negan, but he was there. And it was, I think he saved that moment.
Yeah. And I will say, I also don't think Carl's vision was having Negan in a cell so that people could see that we didn't execute him, as sort of like, I guess this is how there's law and order in this new society, that they ended up having a trial for Negan and now he's locked up for the rest of his life.
P.S. That's inhumane. Solitary confinement is shown to be as bad as torturing people. You know, at least like put him in a flannel shirt and make him work in the garden. That's pretty bad punishment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that was Carl's vision, no?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Carl didn't want him locked in a cell. Carl wanted him earning his keep.
Yeah. So, all right, Jess. Anything else from the episode proper before we dive into the comic book spoilers from the season 8 finale?
Well, I did think like the whole Negan plan was a little convoluted.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like so much hinged on him knowing exactly what Rick's group was going to do. And it really felt like at any point that could have gone really badly wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. So just to reset that. So last week, Negan put a fake plan out into the world with a fake map, and then sent that fake map to Dwight, knowing that he would send it back to Rick, which is done via Gregory, who actually does not appear on screen in this episode, but somehow has managed to survive season 8 somehow. And so then Negan reveals to Father Gabriel in this episode that he knows that some of his own people will be sacrificed, as Rick will get the jump on the people who are where they're supposed to be by the fake map. And then they will find a second map, which is also a fake map, which will lead Rick and his group in a different direction, leading them to the ultimate place where Negan is going to ambush them. Correct?
Yeah. This was like, how many times is Vizzini going to switch the wine glasses?
Right. Why couldn't the first fake map have worked?
Yeah, it really felt like he was hinging a lot on Rick deciding the first map was legit, and then immediately deciding the first map was not legit when he sees the second map, and deciding the second map was the real map. And you know, how deep is it? Is it just turtles all the way down? Like, how deep is the map rabbit hole going to go?
Very far.
I don't know. I think this was, I guess the point is he knows Rick really well and he knows what Rick's going to decide is real and not real. But boy, that was a lot of pieces that needed to go right that he had no control over. And it's kind of a miracle that everybody got to that point. And P.S., this seemed like this is very much like Civil War battle. Like everybody lined up on the hilltop in a single file.
Yes.
I feel like technology has gotten past that point, and it was a really bad tactical thing.
Did one person from the Rick and Maggie side of the aisle perish in the conclusion to the All Out War tonight?
No. And that was also something like I think,
not even a red shirt.
Yeah. We didn't even lose any red shirts this week. And that was kind of disappointing.
Yes. I mean, it's odd that we have a Walking Dead finale and nobody dies.
Yeah, well, I mean,
some saviors died.
Some saviors died.
But not one character that's like a named character.
Yeah, no real people, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That was very strange. And I think I had also read that this episode is meant to resolve everybody's stories. And it could even function. I guess they're anticipating a lot of people are going to jump ship and stop watching it after this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I've read that Scott Gimple thinks that this season finale could also function as a series finale, if need be, because it ties up everybody's story so neatly. And I'd say I pretty much agree with that. Like, we do. This is a very good closing of the book, especially after what we got at the end of last season.
Yeah.
It really does feel like we are saying goodbye to a chapter, and the next chapter is going to be something totally new, with the exception of that Maggie deciding she's against Rick and going to strike on him at some point. That didn't make any sense to me, but I guess we'll see what direction that goes in.
Okay. So do you think to start season 9 we have a time jump, Jess?
I don't think we do. I was expecting that we were going to get one, but I think at this point we are putting some pieces on the chessboard that we need to pick up exactly where we left off.
Not even a small one where it's like 6 months later and things are rebuilt?
I would say we're going to fast forward like 8.5 months.
All right. So Maggie will have a baby by that point, you would think.
Yes. Maggie will have a baby. And if motherhood doesn't fundamentally change her and have her come around to the, like, turn off the kill switch,
mm-hmm.
then we're going to see that confrontation. But I think if we get a time jump, it's not going to be a several years jump as happens in the comics.
Okay. All right. Jess, with that, we are going to get into the comic book zone, talking about a lot of the things from tonight's finale that either did or did not take place in the comic book. So that is coming up momentarily. On Monday night, we will get back together and record what was going on in Fear the Walking Dead. I'm sure we will talk more about Morgan, Madison, and Nick, and everybody from the Clark clan coming up on Monday night. If you have questions about either show, you can also email us, twd@postshowrecaps.com, and we will do our best to address them there. And if we can't address them there, I will talk about everything with Josh Wigler on our Walking Dead / Fear the Walking Dead feedback show at some point later this week. And with that, take it away, Colin Latchford.
Comic Book Zone. Tune out now as spoilers aren't what you want to know. Avoid hearing plot points about Rick or Michonne. Now's the last chance to turn off during the intro. Comic Book Zone.
Yes, okay. Jess, we know that the all-out war took place in the comics, and so it came to a conclusion, but how different was this tonight than what we had seen in the comics, or that you saw in the comic books and will tell us about right now?
Yes, as far as the Rick Negan confrontation, this is pretty much exactly how it went down in the comics, with Rick slashing Negan's throat and then deciding, no, he has to live.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole speech where he tells Negan, you're going to stay alive to see all of it and see how great the world is without you leading anybody. That's basically verbatim from the comics, although it's just Rick who gives this speech. Michonne is not really involved because Michonne has cooler shit to do mm-hmm. in the comic universe.
Wow. Well, what is she doing?
Well, during the time jump, she makes friends apparently with the Oceanside people and goes on a pirate voyage.
Mm-hmm.
Like the single page spread of Michonne on a pirate ship. I mean, it's not really a pirate ship, but she has her own ship and she is sailing and exploring. It's pretty badass. It might be my favorite single shot of anything that happens in the comics. So we have
what
that.
What is she looking for?
Other settlements, I would imagine. She's trading. She's going out, probably just sailing up and down the coast to see what there is.
Okay, sure. All right. So, Jess, then, with Rick delivering that speech to Negan in the comics, it's 100% received well in the comics, not like in the show where Maggie and Daryl and Jesus are plotting something else.
Yeah, there's no counterplot against Rick for not killing Negan. Like, everybody seems more or less on board with it. Like, there are people that may quibble with it, but they never really speak out about it. You really don't see a whole lot from Maggie at this point in the story because she's busy being pregnant, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So that's what's going on with Rick and Negan. What about some of the other storylines from this episode? The exploding bullets. This is completely a show creation, correct?
This is completely a show creation. Eugene's betrayal, whatever you want to call it, he's never fully Team Negan. He gets captured by Negan, and then his face turn again happens when he helps the Doctor escape. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much the whole thing with Eugene sabotaging the bullets is completely a show fabrication. But I think it's very much in the spirit of Eugene.
Okay. So then talk to me about Dwight, because he played a big factor in the comic book version of All Out War, right?
He did. And it's really like what we've seen about the show's treatment of Dwight and about this whole last chapter. This has been stretched out with a lot of new information packed in for the show. Basically, we got a truncated version in the comics where the main turning point where we all are okay with Dwight and we decide he's a good guy is when people are injured by Dwight's weapon and they don't die, so it's clear that he's on our side. And then at the end of everything, there's no real confrontation or comeuppance for Dwight. He just kind of moves back into the sanctuary, and by the time we catch back up with everybody, like two or so years later, he is in charge of the sanctuary, and he's kind of their Rick Grimes.
Okay. So the show is not going to go in that direction, that is based on everything we saw tonight, right?
I don't think they are.
Is this
I think for Dwight,
you think, on the show?
I think we might see him again at some point, but I think we're not picking up season 9 with Dwight in any meaningful role.
Okay. Talk to me about Morgan. Obviously, he does not go off to Fear the Walking Dead in the comics, but does Morgan still loom as a large figure in the comics and have a lot of stories that are now going to need to be passed along to other people?
No, I believe Morgan is actually dead in the comics at this point.
Okay, well, that's good.
He died a ways back. And so I think whenever somebody gets to a point in the show where their character is dead in the comics, there's a lot of speculation about, oh, well, does that mean he's living on borrowed time? I think we heard that a lot about Abraham, for instance.
Yeah.
When Denise got his death and he was still around, that was kind of a big clue to a lot of people that he's probably going to be one of the people that gets killed by Lucille because he's doesn't have a clear roadmap from the comics. But I do think that for some people, they just found new and interesting things to do with them, and it doesn't really reflect on their longevity on the show if their character died a lot sooner.
What about Jesus? Does he have a heel turn in him in the comics?
No, Jesus actually settles down and finds love.
Oh.
It's very sweet.
It's very sweet. Yeah. Okay. So really, there's almost very little that is going on mirroring the comic books at this point in time.
Yeah, there's very little. And I think we're going to diverge more and more from the comics as the show goes on, because there's so much that Carl played a huge role in what's coming up. And they're going to have to tell that story very, very differently.
Yeah, so based on where the comic books goes next, and they have a time jump coming up, we don't think that we're going to do a time jump, right? So where do you think the show goes from here?
I think the next season of the show, we've done this before on the show. We've had whole seasons that are really not reflective of anything that happens in the comics, where it's just kind of like we are going to go on a little side quest, and we're going to spend some time exploring who these show characters are, completely absent any comic book information to infuse into the storyline. And so I think this whole next season is probably going to be about resolving the conflict between the Hilltop and Alexandria. And there's nothing in the comics to back that up. So we're just going to, you know, this also gives us a lot of time to take characters who are really not in the comics at all, but who are great characters in and of themselves and really take them in interesting new directions. Like, I'm expecting next season, if we're going this way, we're going to see a lot of Daryl. We're going to see a lot of Carol. We probably see a fair chunk of Jadis. We're going to see a fair chunk of Alden. All of these characters that really don't exist in the comics, we can give them big solos that they didn't have because they didn't exist.
Yeah. And especially for, you know, Daryl and Maggie, who didn't have a lot to do here in season eight, if they are going to sort of like be going head to head with Rick, that seems like a good way for them to have a lot more screen time moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there was probably a lot of complaints in the writer's room about, we have so many people in this cast, we're not giving appropriate screen time to 2/3 of them. What can we do next season to bring these people back into the fold? And, you know, I was even having the thought, like, you don't have to kill Maggie off if Lauren Cohen is doing another show.
Yeah.
Because on this show, you don't have to be there all the time.
Yeah.
Because there are so many people. If you show up once every 3 episodes, you could do a whole extra show and it wouldn't cut into your Walking Dead time.
I think that that was something that I had been sent or tweeted recently, that according to Wikipedia, in her contract for this new pilot that she's doing for ABC, one of the stipulations was that she would be able to do The Walking Dead, maybe not as like a, you know, a featured character, but as somebody who could come in and do a couple episodes.
Yeah, sure. I mean, she could probably film everything for a season in a couple of days.
Probably. Yeah. Okay. Jess, we have a big night tomorrow night, as we are going to be talking about Fear the Walking Dead and everything to come of that. And maybe we'll get some insight into Morgan as well when we do all that. Jess, anything else you want to say about The Walking Dead proper as we close out our season finale coverage?
Well, you know, Rob, I think we frequently we are accused of being very down on this show. And I know that we are certainly critical of it. And I think everywhere we have criticized it, it has earned that criticism. But overall, I still really enjoy the show. I find it entertaining. I find these characters compelling. I find the universe extremely compelling. And I'm probably here for the long haul unless they do something really egregious. And I don't even know what that could possibly be to turn me off the show entirely. So I've very much enjoyed watching this season and all the seasons and podcasting with you, of course.
Yes, been very fun to go through everything here in season 8. Jess, do you have a letter grade for tonight's episode?
Tonight's episode, I would give probably a solid B.
Yeah, I think that's right about there. You know, my biggest problem with it was that I was like, how did Negan live? And you're telling me that's not even an issue.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess I've seen a lot of really bad sports injuries on YouTube.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, definitely don't recommend it.
Okay. All right. So we're going to be back tomorrow night. So we have a hashtag for this. By the way, the hashtag that AMC was putting out there on the bottom of the screen, which I believe was TWDX, Fear TWD, is one of the all-time most garbage hashtags any network has ever come up with.
Yeah, that hashtag is so garbage, even Jadis won't touch it.
I mean, that is like a CAPTCHA of like, okay, how do we know you're not a robot? Type this in. I'm like, what is that on the bottom screen? TWDXFEART of what?
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean?
Hashtag food for good food.
Like, what's the X mean?
Yeah, I guess.
Walking Dead by Fear the Walking Dead?
Yeah, I guess we multiply them together, and maybe that's what the Talking Dead is. There's going to be like 50 people on stage.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're thinking with TWDX, Fear TWD. All right. Anyway, Jess, looking forward to getting back together next night or tomorrow night. What's the hashtag tonight?
Kill switch rave.
Okay. Kill switch rave.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Kill switch rave. We will talk to you guys tomorrow night. Let us know any questions or comments that you have for us. You can post on postshowrecaps.com or send us an email, twd@postshowrecaps.com. Whatever we don't get to, we'll save for the feedback show. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.